Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Isaiah 53 this morning. You find your place, say amen. All right. Look in verse number 3. Verse 3 of Isaiah 53. The prophet Isaiah lived 700 years, approximately 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, he was a prophet of God that looked down through the telescope of time. He could see the cross. He could see the grave. He could see the empty tomb. We find that in Isaiah 53 this morning. Follow me along as we read. Begin reading in verse number 3. I just want to say, some folks have said, "Preacher, you know, you don't need to be here today." But I do. This is where I need to be. And I believe God would have us to be here today. And I just don't know. Maybe there's somebody here today that needs to be saved, or somebody needs today their life to be changed by the power of the gospel. And so I just believe that God would have us here today, and I thank you for that. A lot of folks said we could have someone else to fill in today, but this is where I just feel like I need to be, and I appreciate you folk. Amen? All right, Isaiah 53. Let's stand just a minute, stretch your legs, and out of reverence for the Word of God. Verse 3, Isaiah 53, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, he hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." He was, in verse number 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone hath turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity." That simply means me having my own way. "The Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we indeed need thy help today. I pray, Heavenly Father, the Spirit of Almighty God would rest upon this place. Lord Jesus, I pray for a fresh unction of God today. I pray for fresh oil. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as my voice goes out across this congregation and those that are listening, those that will listen, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would guide every word that is spoken today. Protect us, God, that nothing be said in vain glory. But Lord, may you get all the praise. May Jesus be glorified. May he be uplifted. If there is one today that doesn't know thee and the free pardon of sin, may this be the glad day, the hour, that they would come and know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I pray this in the blessed Holy Ghost name, and for Jesus' sake we ask, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. The prophet Isaiah looked down through the telescope of time, and here we find in chapter number 53, Isaiah describes the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us here in Isaiah 53, there are four things that Isaiah talked about here about Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. I want to give those to you this morning, my friend, if you care to write them down. If not, just listen closely. Number one, notice as he describes the crucifixion of our Savior, we find the first thing is the bleakness of the cross of Calvary. There's nothing, my friend, that was lovely about the scene of the crucifixion. There was nothing, my friend, that was lovely about the cross of the Lord Jesus. Some of you perhaps wear a cross around your neck. Some of you have a cross as a symbol. Many times we see a cross that's been polished, made of brass. We see a cross that hangs in the pulpit area or perhaps outside of a church. But my friend, may I say that the cross that Jesus died on was an old rugged tree. There was nothing lovely about the cross. It was a jagged piece of wood. It was nothing lovely about the scene that day. Jesus died a shameful death on that cross. Crucifixion was the most shameful and the most painful form of execution there was. The Romans were the only people that crucified criminals. The Jews stoned their people to death, but the Romans crucified him. But my friend, can I tell you something? That down through the portals of time, down through the prophecy of all the ages, that our God looked down, and in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin in the right time, in the right place, at the very moment the Romans were in charge, and it was because of the crucifixion that Bible prophecy was fulfilled. But that day that Jesus died on the cross, it was a shameful death. They take the criminals out, they would strip them of all their garments. When you see a picture of Christ today as he hangs on the tree, you don't really see what he looked like. And that day that he was crucified, he died in shame. He died in nakedness. My friend, the Bible said in Psalm chapter 22, the prophecy there in Psalm 22, that the people walked by that day. They shook their heads. They made faces at him. They stuck out their tongue. They spit upon the lovely Son of God. In shame, he died. You say, preacher, why? It's because he took your shame upon him that day. He died a naked person that day so that you could be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. He died and took your place that day so that you, my friend, could be saved and go to heaven. He died in your place, my friend, so that you never have to experience the fires of hell. He died and took your pain upon him so that, my friend, you could be healed. He died and took your place and carried my griefs and my sorrows and my hurt and my pain was all laid on him on the cross that day. Hallelujah, for the cross of Jesus. But it was a weakness of that cross that day. That day they laid him up Calvary's crowd. That day they laid him on that tree. That day that they nailed the spikes in his head and lifted him up between heaven and earth and let him fall in that hole. And every joint in his body was out of socket. The Bible said in Psalms that he said, my bones look and stare at me. They beat him beyond recognition. His back was a bloody pulp. He, my friend, bore that cross of Calvary. The long jagged pieces of that tree dug deeper than his back. The blood came coursing down as he stood in Pilate's judgment hall. The crown of thorns placed on his brow. As the thorns came out of the side of his head, the blood came trickling down. They reached up, grabbed great hunks of hair out of his beard, ripped them from his face. They smote him on his face. His face was bruised. His face was bloody. His face was swollen. He didn't even resemble a man, the Bible said. And he did all of that, my friend, so that you would never have to go to hell. He took your place on Calvary that day. Thank God for the cross of Jesus. But it was a bleak place. It was a barren place. Oh, listen, that day on that tree, three men died. One man dying in sin. One man dying to sin, but the lovely Son of God died for sin. The Bible said that He had took upon Him the sins of the world. You realize that everything you've ever done, every immoral thought you've ever had, every time you told a lie, every time you cheated, every time you've done anything wrong, our Savior took upon Him that day your sin and my sin and paid for it full and free by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We have been set free by the blood. I see there on the cross that day the depth of God's love. Oh, listen, my friend. Have a son to leave this world. But I'm thankful to God today for the blood of the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful to God today that the Lord in His infinite, infallible mercy, long time ago before the world was ever framed, one time in eternity past, I thank God that He and Jesus conspired together and they said, if we create man, he's going to sin. He's going to mess up. Jesus, you realize, if we create man, he's going to mess up and he's going to sin. And Jesus, if he does, you're going to have to pay the price. And Jesus said, Father, I'll go down yonder. I'll pay the price. I'll give my life a ransom for many. I'll do it because he loved me and loved you. Oh, the depth of the love of God. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus loved you. Nobody ever will love you like Jesus loved you. So the songwriter put it one time like this. If we with ink the ocean could fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every man on earth a scribe and every stalk on earth a quill, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever endure. You realize today that Jesus loved you so much. Greater love than this hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loved you that much. But then I see also a door that was opened up in heaven. A new and a living way, the Bible said. Jesus, listen to me. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hear me out, hear me well. You can try all you want to. You can do all the good works you want to. You can walk in a crop walk if you want to. You can give money to the poor. You can do all the good things in this world, but my friend, that will never give you eternal life. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. It's not Allah. It's not Buddha. It's not Mohammed. It's not Confucius. It's not Mary Baker's and Patterns today. It's not Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not Mormonism. Right. It's not Jehovah's Witnesses. It is Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is the only way. Unless you come the Jesus way, you must hell wide open. But thank God He opened up the door. He said, I am the door to the sheepfold. And if any man enter in, if he hear my voice, I will give him rest. Amen. 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 He's on the way. Right. Not a way, but the way. Right. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank God. Door was opened in heaven. Quickly this morning. Number two, in the cross, I see the message of the submission to the will of God. Yeah. Hebrews 10:7 says, I come to do thy will, O God. Luke 22, Jesus prayed in the garden. And by the way, I said this the other night. Let me reiterate this so you all can get y'all might get a little offended at this, but there is no such thing as a good Friday. I know a lot of schools will be out. I know businesses will be closed. You said, preacher, that's the day Jesus died. No, he did not die on the Friday. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist or a mathematician, but you cannot take from Friday to Sunday morning and make 3 days and three nights, and Jesus said, as the Son of Man, as Jonah was in the whale, well, he saw the Son of Man being on the earth 3 days and three nights. Somebody say amen. You say, where'd that come from? It came from a Roman Catholic tradition.
Right.
But I'll tell you when I believe he died. I believe he died on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
That week that he died, it was the 14th day of Nicene, according to Hebrew scholars, Jewish scholars. I believe he died on a Wednesday. He was placed in the tomb before 6 o'clock. The Jewish calendar goes 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Ours go 12 midnight to 12 midnight. But he was in the grave 3 full days and 3 full nights. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Y'all do believe this book?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I believe that was on a Tuesday night, as he knelt in prayer, and he cried, and he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He said, let this cup pass from me. What was in that cup? I believe it was a cup of shame. It was a cup of suffering. The Bible said this. Hebrews says it was a cup of shame. Notice back in Isaiah, and it says there in verse 3, he was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I believe in that cup, there was a cup of shame. Jesus died in shame. I believe in that cup, it was a cup of separation. I believe as Jesus looked into that cup, and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. First time in all of eternity. On the day that Jesus died, when he looked up toward heaven, the only disciple that he had, he fed the multitudes. You know, some people, they just come out to hear, get what they can get. But many of them came to 5,000, came to get the loaves and the fishes. They were gone. Hundreds came to hear him teach, but they were gone. The 12 disciples, they were all gone but one. John stood beneath the cross that day. Jesus' mother stood by. Joseph, they said, was probably already dead by that time. Here is his mother. Here is John. And I was thinking the other day, I'm glad I was there with my son as he took his last breath. And I'm glad I was there that day to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. But I was there. We consoled him and hugged him, told him I was glutton. But that day Jesus died.
Yeah, brother. Amen.
He looked up to heaven and he said, Eli, levels of my God. That is to say, my God, why has thou forsaken me?
Yes, sir.
In his hour of greatest need, in his hour of death, in his hour of shame, the Father in heaven turned his back on his only son. He could not embrace him. He could not hear, this is my beloved son in whom I well pleased. Though the death of the Holy Ghost did not come, and that day heaven was silent. Heaven became brass. Why? Because our Savior was dying among thieves for your sin and my sin. And God is a holy God. And God could not even look on his son, because he had your sin on him that day.
Amen.
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 He died alone.
Yes, sir.
He died alone.
Yes.
Mother there. John there. Nobody else was there.
Yes.
All the stomach.
Amen.
But Jesus said, I come to do thy will quickly, third of all this morning. What did Isaiah see as he looked down through the telescope of time? Notice what he says here quickly this morning. Verse number 9. Isaiah 53. And he made his, y'all say that with him, he made his what? Grave with the wicked. Isaiah saw the blackness of the grave. Many of you have had to walk out to a cemetery. Many of you have had to say goodbye to your closest friend, your loved one, your dad, your mom, a brother or sister, and your heart breaks. The Bible said in John 19:41, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein never was a man laid. There they laid Jesus, because the Jews' preparation for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Hear me out, my friend. You're sitting here this morning with good faculties. You have a mind. You have mental ability this morning. You're breathing air. Your heart is pumping. Blood is coursing through your body. You have the ability this morning to say yes or no to the Savior. But may I remind you today that the Word of God tells me that there is appointed unto men once to die. There is an appointment that you will keep. I had to call the other day in my doctor's office and I said, look, I'm not able to keep this doctor's appointment. I hope you'll understand. They said, sure, Mr. Thacker, we will reschedule it for later on in the month. I could do that the other day. But there is an appointment that you have, my friend. You hear me out. I don't know when. I don't know where. It may be on the highway somewhere. It may be when you're 80 years of age. But you have an appointment to keep. Somewhere in eternity, the date of your death, the time of your departure has already been inscribed. God knows exactly when that's going to be. You don't know when it's going to be. But one thing is for certain. You're going to breathe your last breath one of these days. One of these days, your heart is going to stop. One of these days, they're going to come in, put a stethoscope on your heart, and they're going to look at your family, and they'll say, he's gone. But my friend, may I say something? Don't weep for me. I'll be more alive than I ever have been. I'll be in the presence of my Savior. I'll see my loved ones again. I'll see mama and daddy and sisters and kin people and my son. I'll see again. Why? Because I know my Redeemer living.
Amen.
How about you? How about you? One of my family members yesterday called me from New Mexico. And he was crying. He said, Frank, I'm sure in your years of ministry, you've preached some funerals that were very hard, and they have. Can I tell y'all something? You don't have to be old to die. A little 12-year-old boy one time rode the bus when I was at Andrews Memorial. He come to church and we had a youth program and everything. He come in and he was from a poor home. When I was in college, I used to cut hair, make a little money. I'd charge $1 a head. His mom was so poor, she didn't have money to pay for a haircut. I brought my clippers to church one night. Mama knew that I was going to do this. I didn't do it without her permission. But I took him down in the basement of the church. And I put the thing around him and cut his hair. Made him look sharp. And he went out of there that night, Sister Gail. And he said, preacher, cut my hair. Preacher cut my hair. Wasn't too long after that, he was in school in Burlington. He raised his hand in class. He said, teacher, my heart hurts. My heart hurts. Teacher thought he was just making fun. You know how kids can be cruel sometimes. They started singing that song and thinking Michael Jackson, Heart Attack. That little 12-year-old boy fell out on the floor and died. Went to the funeral home. His casket wasn't about the size of that communion table right there. But glory to God, he had trusted Jesus at youth camp. He was in the presence of the Lord. What am I telling you? You've got an appointment. You've got a date of destiny. I hope and pray God gives me another 15 years. At least I can preach. maybe 20, I don't know, but I'm gonna go till I can't go no more. One thing is for certain, if our blessed Savior don't come in the rapture, you and I are going to go by the way of the grave. One of these days you will breathe your last breath. One of these days somebody may slam into your car. One of these days you may be getting up to pay for a bill and fall over with a heart attack. One thing is for certain, death is knocking on your door. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Jesus. Last of all, I close with this. Notice the blessedness of the empty tomb. The Bible said there in verse 9, he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, for he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and being satisfied his knowledge, that my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The scripture says in Matthew 28, verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Aren't you glad? I've got friends. Brother Mike quit right now. He called me from Israel the other day. He and his lovely wife, Jane, are over there with Ralph Sexton and C.T. Townsend and some of those folks. They're taking a tour of Israel. And he called me. He said, Brother Thacker, we're here in Israel, and I don't know any better place to be praying for you and your family. But thank God there is an empty tomb. Come on, folks. Thank God there is an empty tomb. For he is not here. Come see the place where the Lord lay. They laid him in a tomb that no man had ever laid before. There was no corruption in that tomb. But you see, it was a borrowed tomb. And Joseph of Arimathea owned the tomb, but he let Jesus use it because he knew he wouldn't need it but a short while. He's not here. His bones are not decaying. His body is not rotten. He's alive forevermore. Thank God for that empty tomb. Isaiah said, I can look down through the prophecy. I can see the bleakness of the cross. I can see the shame of the cross. I can see the crucifixion. I can see where they laid him. But thank God, I see an empty grave. I know my Savior lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow.